This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
You're listening to the iFanboy Pick the Week podcast, episode 544, brought to you by iFanboy listeners just like you. The iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast. It's not episode 542. No. It is episode 544.
Oops.
And my name is Ron Richards. I'm back, and I'm here with Connor Kilpatrick.
I'm also back.
And we allowed Josh Flanagan to return after last week's debacle.
I don't need any of you. Why are you here?
Oh, gosh.
I don't. Listen. I've gotten bigger than you.
If you had to do the show by yourself every week, how long would the show last?
Week and a half.
I like the week and a half. You didn't even make it to the second show.
No, the second week would be like, I would be like almost done with reading the books and be like, oh, fuck this. So I would I would do some of the prep. But that would be it.
Right. That would be it. Well, I almost tweeted, but I didn't want to steal your take away your moment. But I was going to say, guys, stop complimenting him. It's going to just going right to his head. It's going to be unlivable. But I'm glad I didn't inflate your ego too much there, Josh.
I mean, it was good.
I will admit that when I downloaded it, I was surprised to see it was over an hour. I was expecting like 42 minutes.
I kind of thought that ahead of time, but it turns out, and you guys might have seen this coming, once I start talking.
Without us there to stop him, Ron.
That was really totally the case.
Anyway, so for those of you who are new listeners or the tried and true listeners, this is the iFanboy podcast where we like comics, and every week we read a stack of comics and one of us picks their favorite book, and we call that the pick of the week. And we come here and we talk about that book, other books, and other fun stuff. Sometimes we talk about publishing plans, sometimes we read your email. All in all, we just have a fun, good time centered around comic books. Quick spoiler warning, this is a review show, so we're going to talk about what happened in the comics. So if you haven't read your books, you might want to press pause and come back later, or just be warned and be damned. This week, Big Man had the pick. Connor, what you got?
This week, the pick of the week was Daredevil number 9, written by Charles Soule with art by Goran Suzuka, colors by Matt Milla, letters by Clayton Cowles. And we talked about issue 8. This was a two-part story featuring Spider-Man and having an adventure with Daredevil in China. We talked about the last issue, how much we enjoyed that, and this just felt very classic, old-school Marvel. And we're going to talk about Marvel's current state later in the show and how it doesn't feel very classic and old-school anymore. And
spoilers!
So rarely, when these issues do come up, I'm like, oh, this is what it felt like to read a Marvel comic a while ago. As someone who loved reading Marvel comics, that's a good feeling to have. So Daredevil and Spider-Man are basically involved in a heist in a Macau casino. And whenever I hear Macau, I always think of Studio 60. They've got to steal a briefcase, and, you know, Daredevil
as we've seen in this series, he wiped everyone's memory, so no one knows who he is anymore. So Spider-Man is slightly uneasy because he has these memories of being Daredevil's buddy and having adventures with him, but doesn't quite remember everything because he's had his memories monkeyed with. And so that leads a little bit of attention to their team-up, which is still fun and funny, and I really enjoyed the brief respite where they basically paraglide on the hovercraft using Spider-Man's webs, just to kind of cool down between battles. And it was just really fun, and Goran Suzuka's art's really classic Marvel-y, really great storytelling. I just really enjoyed this Daredevil's book, and I really enjoyed this team-up with Spider-Man. It was just what I wanted this week.
Yeah, I mean, we talked, like you said, when the first issue of this little crossover came out, the last issue, just loved it, just loved the tone. And it was just total, like, even though it kept the dark, you know, and this issue actually addressed that. Spider-Man warns Daredevil of a black suit phase.
Yeah.
it kept the darkness of this, you know, current chapter of Daredevil. It added a lightness that I think has been missing from this series up to this point that was just really welcome and a lot of fun. And again, this addressed the whole nobody knows his identity, memory, you know, all the changes that have happened in a roundabout kind of sum it up in two panels kind of way.
Yeah.
But, you know, and it was the kind of thing where, like, I knew he was leading towards somewhere in the issue when Spider-Man kept on saying how you're my oldest pal. And, like, he was using that same phrase like three or four times. I'm like, all right, this is all going to circle back sooner or later. And it did. And it was satisfying. So, yep. You know, yeah.
A couple of thoughts before I just shit on everything. One, I think the transition from Ron Garney, who I really liked, to Goran Suzuka, I can't do it, Suzuka, whatever, has been really good. Like, I'm not feeling like because I really like what Ron Garney was doing,
yeah.
And like, it's sort of different, but it's still in the same sort of theme, and I love, like, the dot pitch sort of coloring that's going on through the whole thing. Like, I love it. It's really nice to look at and sort of different than everything else. I'm not going to talk about the glowing logo, although yes,
yeah,
it did ruin the whole book. In case anyone, that's, I mean, honestly,
how do you feel about the glowing eyes?
It's not as stupid, but it, like, it goes along with it. It's just, it's part and parcel of it.
It just
but
seems impractical. Like, how's he ever supposed to hide?
And it's a good, the whole thing. Don't. If you start getting into the nuts and bolts of it, I'm just going to get upset. Is it powered? Is there a battery pack tucked somewhere, like at the top of his butt crack? Because, or is it like a flat pack kind of? And wouldn't that get hot as it discharged? Anyway.
Tiny solar panels in his suit, maybe.
God. He's not out in the daytime. None of it works. And other than that, like, if you see the suit from the back, it's perfect.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, it's perfect classic. And done with this dot pitch, that thing's, it's even worse. And then, like, the spider itself, like, it's too big and it's...
I really enjoy how you weren't going to talk about this.
Right,
and then went off for 5 minutes about
going.
It.
And, and to be fair, also, that glow effect on it,
yeah,
it stands out completely with everything else the way this book is produced.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, it does not fit with the rest of the tone of this book color-wise. If you look on every page, it stands out. It's distracting.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what I was going to say is that this is Peter Parker Spider-Man. This is not young, nervous...
Yes.
Spider-Man,
this
right?
Is Peter Parker. This is Peter
so
Parker.
So I was thinking, I was like, you know what? Charles is actually writing a really good Spider-Man. And I thought, oh, this is really really nice. It's on point. But he needs to notch it back. Because every single line that came out of his mouth was a gag. And I get that that's what the young, nervous Spider-Man... This would be an editor's note, I guess, if I was doing it. But, like, a little less of that, I think, would have made it work better.
Mm-hmm.
Because it
and
was that, literally
that was
every
that
line.
Was... Yeah, and that was kind of what I was saying about before, whereas that you're my oldest pal kind of routine thing kept on was the repetition of that, I think, is similar to what you're talking about, where there was, a lot of joke. And it was more so in this issue than last issue. Last issue felt much more natural.
Yeah, and it's kind of, I don't know, it's a comic book. It's heightened reality. It's kind of okay, but I would have thought to notch it back just a little bit and it would have stood out because Spider-Man does that because he's nervous. I understand. And I mean, maybe he's nervous because he knows something's up and he can't put his finger on it about Daredevil, but whatever. Daredevil told him anyway. Listen, I did it. Oh, well, you held that for a while. But it was good. Like, it was a good, the voice of Spider-Man was good.
I think he makes dumb jokes for a variety of reasons.
Yeah. Listen, you don't need to tell me.
I think nervousness is an element. I think not liking silence is an element. Yeah. There's a whole
silence
bunch of
is worst.
Yeah.
No, but it, like, it was good. It was like I didn't. That was the thought I had, but when you said it was pick of the week, I was like, all right, yeah, I can see that. That's fun. I actually really like that you guys are enjoying this
because yes.
I didn't know where it was going to go for a little bit. Yeah.
I always liked the Spider-Man Daredevil team-ups when I was a kid. They're a good match because they're so different personality-wise. You know, Matt is very, very serious. I mean, I'm looking at the page where Spider-Man yoinks away the briefcase with his webs, and you know, Daredevil's glaring at him, and he's grimacing with his teeth clenched, and their personalities couldn't be more different, but they complement each other very well. So that leads to fun team-ups. And I just like these two guys playing, and I think Charles Soule writes them both really well. So that's a nice plus. And I'm not reading Peter Parker really anywhere else, so it's nice to get a little dose of Peter Parker here.
Yeah,
he only really shows up for me in crossovers, but I just thought this was really fun. I kept thinking about it as I read through my stack. Oh, that was good, but I kept going back and thinking about scenes in this book that I liked, and so that was clearly the one that I enjoyed the most. Even if there's a glowing Spider-Man and there's a dumb Daredevil logo.
The Daredevil logo, like, in light of the stupid Spider-Man logo. Doesn't even register.
Right.
Doesn't, not at all. It's funny as we move into these other ones, and like, I think Ron, that one of the themes this week is hammering themes home in with a little too much. Like, I get it. Please stop explaining to me the basic premise of the book in direct terms. Like, it seems like it was happening over and over again, and you're right, it was in this too.
Listen, I want you to be clear that we want to make sure you understand this, Josh. We have no ambiguity.
Well, if only they found some way in the DC Rebirth books to explain what those characters were all about.
Well,
let's move on to the rating segment, then. This is a recurring segment in which we rate the DC Rebirth books. And since DC has a really bewildering publishing schedule involving these books, it's not quite
all over the map.
Not quite as fun as when we did it originally for the New 52. They come out randomly, one to two or none for weeks at a time, and then you've got a couple, and then they overlap with other books that are already out, and so none of it makes sense. But anyway, ratings time.
Ratings. We use the PER system.
That's right.
Pick a comic, read a comic, eat a comic, rate a comic.
We do use that system. Wait a minute.
Oh, wait. Should I not have eaten the comic after I read it?
Well, you're going to want to stay away from Connor's digital comics because they're chock full of mercury.
In a loving tribute to our friends and mates. Okay, so Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps, not Corpse Run, Rebirth number one, written by Robert Venditti, art by Ethan Van Sciver. And this is one of those twice monthly books. And Ethan Van Sciver will be one of the artists on it, along with Rafa Sandoval, when it moves over to the regular series, which I think is like next fucking week or something. I like this a lot.
I like this a lot as well.
Hal Jordan's always been my guy, and so I'm happy to see him back in action, and I am very cautiously optimistic about all of these Green Lantern books right now.
It did a little bit, of course, in that I'm the Green Lantern of Sector, blah, 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 but this did a great, like, if you didn't read Green Lantern for the past 5 years,
right,
here's what happened. Couple pages, here's what happened.
And I'm not sad I didn't read it, having read that recap. Yeah. I was like, none of this sounds good at all.
Right.
I thought the same.
Yeah. So it's like, here's what happened, and now here's where we're going. And I don't know how he made a ring with that big hammer, but okay.
Ron, if you strike a rock enough times with a hammer, it will form that rock into whatever complicated piece of jewelry you want it to be.
You get mind a finally, rock and a mind finally, hammer.
Yeah.
A finely detailed ring with delicate details around the logo. But yeah.
He didn't do the whole thing with a giant hammer. That's the initial hammering.
See, in between those panels, there was a big time jump where he was working very diligently with fine tools. Anyway,
he's built of matrix code.
So here we get Hal Jordan reestablishing himself as a Green Lantern. He's off in another sector. Oa's gone. Sinestro's battle world. Sinestro looking old and stooped over. His battle world has asserted itself. Is the center of the universe.
Very Emperor Sinestro-esque.
Yes.
I really liked that.
Good.
Yeah, no, I thought that part was really good. I will say, like, right away I thought, oh, Van Sciver, huh?
Yeah.
And then later I thought, oh, Van Sciver. So I went I went back and forth in the same issue.
Interesting.
There are parts that I was like, oh, he's really good for this. And other parts where I was like, why does Kyle Rayner look like a lady that Jamie McKelvey draws?
He did look like a McKelvey lady. You're right. That is a very good observation. McKelvey. Hey, do you remember when Ethan Van Sciver did a sketchbook at cons that was Mein Kampf?
No.
Well,
it was.
I'm going to go ahead and say we should move on.
Yeah. Anyway, after reading this, and I've really been enjoying Green Lanterns, I'm excited to be reading Green Lantern books again, and I'm excited about the way these characters are going right now. So that's a good feeling for me, because I'm one of those people that hasn't read Green Lantern in like 5 years, so it's nice.
See, to me, it felt a lot like where we've been. Like, it was like, oh, there are the other lanterns. It's like, it's the same stuff. And so it's occurring to me that these rebirth issues are really just recaps.
Well, I think sometimes they're recaps. They're reset button. I feel like, well, Nightwing, the next book we're going to talk about is a reset button book, you know?
Well, that's part of the problem. I think we've been talking about these rebirth books is we don't really know what the purpose of them is. Sometimes it's a recap. Sometimes, like, Batman Rebirth was just a story.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's a book where two characters talk about their history I don't know the purpose, so it's hard to qualify what they are and how successful they are, other than if I enjoyed them or not, and we're going to read further. That's all.
And I think that's the way to go. But a part of me wonders, like, why don't they just, like, they've got an editorial, you know, just say, do them like this. But then I think maybe that's bad. If I was a writer, would that piss me off? You know, like, so I could see it going either way, but it does make it hard to pin down what your expectations are versus what you get, I think.
Well, I think in this sense, it was successful because now I get where these characters have been, where they are now, and now I want to see where they're going. So in that sense, I think as a rebirth book, this worked for me.
I think that what I came out of it is that, like, there's a version of Hal Jordan that I don't tend to like, and I don't like this one. And it's not like it's bad, but it's sort of it's where he is now. Like, he's around the horn. He's like, he's the big Green Lantern guy. He seems very disconnected from anything that was earthly about him. Mm-hmm. I like that less. Mm-hmm. It's less grounded. That's just literally has to do with my, like, it's completely humorless. It's not that it has to be really funny or anything, but it's like so teeth grittingly serious. And some of that works pretty well, but for me, I don't know that it really resonated. It wasn't the Hal Jordan I love so much.
You've ruined Kyle Rayner in this book for me, and I didn't think you could ruin him any further.
Oh my God, he's like the bass player.
He does look like he should be in The Wicked and the Divine, which we're going to talk about later.
He's a lady.
But I hate him anyway, so now it's just even worse. Let's do our ratings for Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps Rebirth number one. I give it a 4.
I also give it a 4.
2.5.
2.5.
Really? 2.5?
These are out of 5, by the way.
Yeah.
Wow, that's harsh.
Is it? 1's harsh.
2's
pretty harsh. 2.5 is harsh. Yeah.
See, it's fine. It's just not, it didn't do anything for me. It didn't make me want to read more.
All right. Well, I mean, I guess that's the.
So we know if Josh is sticking with it, his answer is no.
Ron? Oh, no, I'm going to read all of them. No, I'm not.
Ron, sticking with it?
Yes, I'm going to stick with it.
Yes, I am as well.
Yeah, it is a subjective rating. Ratings.
All right, next book.
Nightwing Rebirth, number one. Tim Seeley on story. Tim Seeley was one of the co-writers of the Grayson book with Tom King. Art by Yannick Paquette, who will not be the artist in the book. It will be another twice-monthly book with art by Javi Fernandez and Marcus Toe, or two.
Yeah, you know what they should do? They should get Yannick Paquette to stick around.
I know, I saw it. I was like, oh!
It looked awesome.
It did look awesome.
It looked great, and I got excited because of that. But see, that's another thing about these rebirth books. It's a dick tease.
Totally.
A little bit.
The two best things about this book were that I love the Huntress's new costume. Remember, she got sexied up for the New 52, and now she's back to having a full body suit. For the most part, other than her arms. But I like her new suit. Actually, I'm just saying, we always criticize these new costumes, so I'm going to point out when I like a redesign, and I like this Huntress redesign.
Well, okay. Note that the butt of her gun sort of sticks out from her forearm. That's problematic.
I assume that it's just a holster. It's like an arm holster, and she pulls it off of her forearm to shoot it.
Yeah, but it's sticking out sideways, so maybe it's not in place yet. But it looks like it's a little crossbow kind of gun, right?
Yeah, crossbow gun.
That gun butt is sticking right out there. You're going to hook that on everything.
Gun butt.
Accidentally shoot somebody with that thing.
Gun butt.
Also, that sort of back piece, like the faux details, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like an issue.
Yeah, I like it.
But
like
design-wise, like, it's not bad.
I also really like this page. I like the way that it's very sort of heavily shaded.
Yeah, it's nice light.
There's a lot of thick lines on, like on her tunic and the wall. It feels like very heavy. Yeah. Really good page. And, you know, the classic Nightwing costume reappears. Other than that, this issue was very much sort of wrapping up all of the storylines in Grayson. And Grayson was a book that Josh and I enjoyed for the most part, but
I didn't read the whole thing, but what I did, I enjoyed.
At the end of the day, though, it wasn't a Nightwing story we were looking for.
Yes.
So I was
the character right. I just didn't, the spiral story didn't really do anything for me.
Right.
I think.
So I was a little bummed just that we had to go through it all again just because I want to move on to Nightwing's appearance.
See, I hadn't read all of it, so I kind of was like, all right, this, you know, like, in this instance, for me, like, I liked some of the wrap-ups because I didn't, if it's going to matter going forward, his relationship with like, Midnighter, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, that's interesting and sort of what happened. And boy, for whatever reason, if you get a good handle on Dick Grayson, it seems to make Damian palatable. And also, and I know that, you know, I thought Damian was dead.
He was, and he was resurrected with superpowers, and then I don't know if that was permanent or not.
Yeah, superpowers?
He did for a while, yeah. I just try to ignore everything he shows up with.
It wasn't horrible in this, though, is my point. I like him. Because he says something at one point. He's like, oh, he was my Robin when I was Batman for a while. And I was like, I really liked that story.
Right.
I was a big fan at that time.
I liked referencing it as well, too. Like, it happened. It doesn't, yeah, you know. Yeah.
Did they just kill off Lincoln March in this issue?
It would appear there's a lot of deaths this week.
Yeah, it looks like it.
I liked Batman being like, I'm not mad at you. I'm never going to be mad at you.
Right.
Yeah. I was like, oh, nice dad Batman time. That's good.
He's trying to be happier.
I thought this was delightful.
Mm-hmm.
I have not. I did not read Grayson. I have not read any Nightwing for some reason. But after reading Titans,
yes,
and picking up on the Nightwing vibe, on the Dick vibe, I was like, oh, let me, you know, because the thing is that, like, Nightwing and Dick Grayson has a certain amount of emotion or sentimentality or like emotional resonance in the DC pantheon of characters, I believe. Like, I feel like where Batman is, you know, the brains and the determination, Dick Grayson is kind of the heart of the Bat families, you know?
Oh, yeah, totally.
And I've always connected with that, and I've always enjoyed that. And I thought this hit those notes right on the head. I thought, you know, it was warming in different places. It was somewhat predictable at the end, but it still didn't, you know, when the moment when he, you know, the reveal of him in the costume and reclaiming the Nightwing persona was it that delivered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this might have been my pick of the week if I was
in
the
show. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would have fallen out of my chair. If it had been your week and you'd picked it,
yeah,
you would have heard me fall from New York.
I was very, very impressed. And I think a lot of it was, you know, Tim Seeley is a great writer, and we've known that for many, many years, and we know what he's doing. And I feel like he's quietly been doing stuff at DC and deserves a lot of attention for that.
He's a really good writer. He's a really good writer. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And like Josh mentioned, the Yannick Paquette art was great. I mean, I might read Nightwing coming into Rebirth.
Nathan Fairburn matched with him. Like, it's a good team.
Good team. So,
well, you know, one of the things that I think I've always liked about Nightwing, at least in its traditional sort of, there's no way to do that character without sort of confronting the idea of growing up and moving on.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because that's really what he's about. In a way,
is it what he stands for?
No, he stands for circus. He's about growing up and moving on, but he stands for
respect for carnies.
And also, his platform is flips,
backflips.
But like, that's a theme that I like because it's almost not normal for superhero comic books.
It's not normal.
It's not normal. These people. No, but and so when it's done well, and like I said, every time I read Grayson. Or I've read Seeley or King Herb. Not even that, but just like they get the character.
They really get Dick. Yeah.
They always. It's so bad. How do you move past that word?
You can't. They tried. Remember, they tried in the New 52. They started off. They were calling him Richie or Richard.
Oh,
jeez. And that lasted for like two issues, and then they.
He's Dick. He's a little Dicky. All right. So ratings.
Ratings. I gave it a 3.
I gave it a 4.5.
Wow.
Four.
Interesting.
Wow. All right. There you go.
Sticking with it.
I'm going to stick with it.
Yes.
Yes, but it's going to depend on the art team.
Okay.
Yeah. I like Marcus Tau, so we'll see. Javi Fernandez, I don't know.
People, but if, you know, it's got to feel right. It's got to work.
Good cover. Right, well, that, too. Really good cover.
That wraps up this week's ratings. Ratings. So 4.5. See you next week.
onto the some other books this week. Civil War 2, number 3, Brian Bendis, David Marquez, with a little bit of Olivier Coipel in there. And so they killed off Bruce Banner.
Oh, God.
Here's the thing, though. The odd thing is I'm really kind of into it.
Yeah.
Like, it's a really bizarre event because there's hardly any action in it when the event is supposed to be the big summer action story.
Right.
But it's interesting the issues that they're discussing and debating.
And I think it's also interesting that, like, the flashpoint or, like, the prop, like, you know, like, basically, you know, so the Ulysses Inhuman sees a future where the Hulk kills them all. And so they proactively go after him and they find out that he's been experimenting on himself. And so in the standoff, he's getting angrier. Then all of a sudden an arrow comes flying out of the trees and he gets shot in the head with an arrow and dies. Because turns out he went to Hawkeye and said, hey, if I ever am going to be a danger to everybody, take me out. And right. Use this to take me out. And it was a thing of his own device. And the it seems
he's
like the
Dumbledore and Severus Snape.
I don't know what that means. But and then the action of this issue is the courtroom scene where Hawkeye's on trial for the murder of Banner.
Right.
And even though it's a federal case, Matt Murdock is prosecuting. it's a whole, and I've been enjoying, now I'm on board with Totally Awesome Hulk because it's had that awesome Alan Davis art. And like in that book, Banner is cured and he's fine, but now here he's dead, and I just don't know what to believe. I don't understand anything. So
I have thoughts.
Let me just cap mine off before you. What I liked about this is the predetermination, predestination issues.
Yeah.
Is by going to Banner here, are they causing their own vision to happen? Like, yeah. If they never had bothered him, would he never freak out and kill them? But by going to stop him beforehand, are they actually causing their own fate? So that's what I'm finding interesting. It's just bizarre that's happening in this story. That's basically all talking heads, and it's the big event.
And that same topic happened in the Civil War Spider-Man miniseries that also came out this week. That's not on the list, but basically, Spider-Man wants to spend some time with Ulysses and takes him to Parker Industries, and he sees a former villain who's working for Parker Industries, and he's like, "Oh, I just had a vision. He's going to don a costume and fight Spider-Man again." And so they start following him and freak the guy out and push him towards becoming a villain again. And Spider-Man actually says, oh, did I just self-fulfilling prophecy myself?
Right.
You know, and that's the real kind of question.
Well, Ulysses should have done was said, I see a future where everyone makes fun of your dumbass glowing spider.
Yeah.
Guys, don't
bring it up
started here. On that.
Anyway.
So I think I'm with Connor. I think I enjoy this series. I hate Civil War II everywhere else.
Yeah, right. Me too.
If that makes sense. I like reading this, and I want to say, like, I think Dave Marquez is doing career work here.
Yes, agreed. It is. I mean, it is beautiful to look at. I flipped through it twice. Yeah.
I mean,
because the art is great, and yeah, I'm oddly compelled to be interested in it.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I think there's things in here that made me mad, but I don't know that wasn't their intention. So therefore, they were successful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I still hate that Carol. I think Carol's wrong. I mean, basically, if you were going to take my take on it, team whatever, I guess I'm team Iron Man.
Yeah.
So in what world did anybody think it was a good idea to confront Banner and then bring every superhero in the world to stand there and glare at him?
Exactly. Yeah, that just seemed
odd.
That's
stupid. Yeah. It's stupid.
And also, isn't Hawkeye an Avenger? Why does Hawkeye get arrested?
Well, they're not above the law.
No, the Hawkeye thing happened.
Yeah, but...
And I... No, just please.
Okay.
The Hawkeye thing happened, and I went... What the fuck does this guy have against Clint Barton?
Yeah.
I was like, I can't believe you're doing this again, you... That's what I thought at Bendis. And then they came up with a story, and I was like, all right, fine.
Yeah.
But at the same time, yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm not happy about it, but I don't think it's wrong.
Yeah.
So that works. That's a success. That totally works.
Well, what they're doing, Josh, is they're systematically removing all of the characters we like off the board.
I know.
This is how they're getting rid of Clint Barton.
I'm well aware that that's happening. We're going to get to that. Yeah, so there's...
It's still oddly compelling.
It is.
It's compelling.
It's not bad at all. It's no fear itself.
So that said, is it still oddly compelling when you open up Power Man and Iron Fist number 6?
Yes! I really liked Power Man. I thought this was the way to do a crossover issue.
I absolutely had that same thought. I thought they just went, yeah, you know what? I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
They talked about it and they dealt with it. And it wasn't even a one-off. They went through it. He's like, I don't want to watch these. And they had a couple of, they had like a flashback and they had, you know, like Luke Cage was fighting, was it Hercules?
Ares.
Ares. You know, and I was like, yeah, good call. And so like, normally when they do that sort of toss-off explanation thing, it's not good. But in this,
yeah, it worked.
Like, okay, cool. Let's let them keep doing the thing. And it was great. It was really well written. There was this little bit in there where they referenced. I'm sorry, I'm moving on to this book. Is that cool?
Yeah, no,
yes, that was called a segue. It's called a segue, yeah. Josh.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But they referenced the Eric Garner thing.
Yep.
Pretty specifically, and I thought, is that all right? And I thought, yeah, I guess if you're gonna do your platform, that's probably the right place to do it.
Yeah.
But it took me out of it basically, which isn't, you know, maybe that it deserves it. Then a couple of pages later, Luke says something. He says, and it goes a little something like this. And then Iron Fist says, kick it. And I was like, that's awesome. That's a great hip hop reference. And I got really happy.
Flaviano's art was great. This series, I feel like is like it's beating the odds. It's great. It almost feels like a Fantagraphics book. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I know what you're getting at.
Yeah. Yeah. I dig it.
There's a lot going on here. I really liked the tie-ins. I thought with these two characters it works a lot because Luke was so heavily involved in the original Civil War. It made sense to really, you know, have it really emotionally affect him this time.
Yeah, those two flashback pages with him fighting with Rhodey and then the sort of She-Hulk Iron Fist thing was like those are actually quite powerful.
Yes.
And also those are the only thing that have really made me feel the impact of those events.
Right.
Yep. Like, those are the best at making me feel the consequences of it. Of like, what is this? What's going on? And that happened here.
Yeah. I mean, this continues to be a really great book, but I think this is a great way to have the event cause emotional ramifications, but also while you're telling your own story. So they're dealing with that while they're also dealing with these vigilantes who are, again, I think this is inspired by what's going on. They're attacking retired villains.
I wasn't sure if that was going to be them getting dragged into it anyway, even though they didn't want to, or if this was a separate thing. And I'm hoping it's the latter.
Right. Either way, the execution of it worked.
Yeah. It's funny, at the beginning, I thought it was going to be a gag when they were like looking at something and she's like, they're like, don't have her look at this. And I thought it was going to be like a funny thing.
Right.
You know, like it would be like some ugly wallpaper
but
or something.
But it wasn't. It was sad.
No, it was very sad. Yeah.
Yeah. This is really good. This was a pick of week contender as well.
Totally.
Much like the Vision number 9 from Tom King and Gabriel Hernandez-Walta, which is just still really fucked up.
I think this would have been my pick of the week. Because that's fucked up. He's addicted to vibranium.
Yeah.
I was like, that's one of those ideas like, wow, that's so simple. And it works so well.
That's the best
and it's
ideas.
It is like kind of heavy handed, but also just a little bit goofy at the same time.
Right. Which is the whole book. I think that's
right.
Tom King's been walking this razor wire tone with this book where one step too far in one direction it could get really heavy-handed or weird, but it's also got this underlying current of strange humor to it. So,
I mean, I think at the end of the whole thing, you're like, they're all robots, so you can do whatever you want to them.
But it's still sad. I mean, his son gets zapped and it blows his cortex.
Yeah,
and he's basically dead. They can't reboot him. And so, again, much like. Actually, I don't know if this was intentional or not because it came out the same week as Civil War and it's happening during Civil War, but it's the predestination thing. The Avengers were worried about the Vision turning on them. That's because that's what they saw, what's her name, saw in her vision. And now by going and investigating it and accidentally killing his son, they've actually created the monster they were trying to avoid. So it was very similar subject matter to Civil War.
Yeah.
And it's tragic, obviously.
It's great. It's like, wow, this keeps getting more interesting. It's fun.
And so it's got three more issues. I don't feel like it's going to end well.
This is the speedy story for our generation.
Yeah, it might be. It was great. So
that piano's made a what?
I've been dying to hear what you guys think of New Superman number 1.
From Gene Luen Yang and Victor Bogdanovich.
Yep.
It was really interesting. It wasn't what I was expecting. So this is the Chinese Superman, who was genetically engineered by scientists to have Superman-like powers. And he's a dick.
Yeah. He's
a
bully.
That was interesting, was that, you know, he's not your Clark Kent-esque good guy. He's an asshole. So that's interesting. And he's Chinese.
And I mean that from the point of view, like, there's a slightly different cultural point of view on it.
Right.
And, I mean, the thing about this is it felt like a Gene Yang book, where that Superman run that he did before
didn't. Yeah.
Yep. Which is fine. It was.
I really wish Sonny Liu had drawn this.
Yeah. I like that. That would be great.
I don't want to keep pairing them together, but like he's overdrawing Dr. Fate and he's doing a really great job on that book, and they've worked together before, and I just kept the art here is fine.
Yeah,
Victor Bogdanovich. It's fine.
I like Victor Bogdanovich a lot, and I thought the art in here was good. I thought it was really, really good. But yeah, I would love to see Sonny Liu on it. Yeah,
I really enjoyed it because it felt like a Gene Yang book, which has there's like a simplistic sweetness to it, but there's this like dark edge right on the other side of it all the time. Where like that's kind of raw, and he does it in a way that nobody else does. I really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to more.
I like the cover a lot, where he's holding the giant number one. We don't often talk about the covers. I also like, Ron, I thought of you with the variant cover where he's knocked over a giant thing of dumplings.
Yes.
Got it. Upset.
I love my dumplings. No, I thought this was great. I thought this was really, really good. I love dumplings, and I like the different take that the Superman starts off as a bully or as a not a great person. And I thought the at the end, the cliffhanger, the big reveal of the Chinese Batman and Wonder Woman. I mean, I think it's really interesting. And with everything that's going on in the world today with China, you know, all roads leading to China and all, I think it's interesting to have this kind of presence, and yes. And I'm excited to see what Gene Lin Liang does, because we know he's an amazing writer. Yep. and not having the constraints of what I feel like he was had the constraints where his other Superman work, it could be really interesting. Give him his little playground to work in and see what he does, and I think that'd be great.
And there's a lot of I think there's a lot of stuff going on here that we're not even fully. Like Wonder Woman's all in green, and that has a significance, you know?
Right.
Like a Jane, and like that big gold one on the cover, like that means a thing. There's a lot of stuff going on there. His suit is red, you know. I'm not proficient enough in Chinese culture to know what all those things mean, but I know that there's stuff going on there. So it's like it's kind of cool, and it's just bringing a different kind of story.
I also like the design of the character. I like the suit.
Yeah,
I like the Chinese flag is in his shoulder, but it's not overwhelming.
Yeah,
it was good. It was good.
Yep.
I had no expectations for it. I didn't know what to expect. So it was nice to go in like that.
So if you would like us to rate things.
Ratings.
Ratings. You should probably help support the site, because that's how you get things done that you like. Go to ifinbo.com/support, and there you'll find a link to our Amazon page where if you had ordered things on Prime Day, it would have been pretty much like any other day. Because it was pretty underwhelming. But that doesn't matter, because you're still going to get that stuff you want from your wish list anyway, and those boxes are going to show up, and then you will feel better for a little while. So you should do that, because it doesn't cost you anything, and we get a little piece of that. You can also become an iFanboy member, which is to say, donate money directly. The $3 a month, the $30 a year, any amount that you would like. We are going to have updates on that in the nearest future.
Soon, in fact.
Yeah.
Very soon.
Hopefully make that a little easier for you. If you've been thinking I want to help, but maybe the system isn't working, there are going to be options. But we thank everybody who does that. You know, there's little things that happen. We have to get new mics or whatever, and you guys make that possible, and it makes it easy for us, which makes us keep doing it. So thank you, and keep going.
All right. Flash number 2 came out. And again, I think Josh Williamson is onto something with the series. Yeah. I'm really enjoying it. The art by Carmine Ninjamenko was really good. But there was one particular moment in this that made me laugh, like made me put the comic book down and laugh and walk around the room. was in the very beginning, because the detective, another detective in the Gotham police now has the speed powers. And so
Central
the Flash
City
trying
police.
To help him. Central City Police.
Come on. You're not an amateur here.
I know. So Flash is helping him, you know, learn how to use the Speed Force, and then the detective August is talking to the Flash, and he's like, you know, my friend Barry just got hit by a lightning bolt like this. And there's one panel where the Flash is like, oh, did he? And like you can totally see the eyes like going left to right, and like, oh, what a coincidence! Like, and basically, the detective figured out that Barry's the Flash. But that one moment of just like the Flash, like deer in headlights. Oh crap! I'm figured out. I like that.
That was like the Hawkeye thing. I was like, yeah. Oh, come on, don't do that. Oh, no, okay, you've got it covered. Sorry, I'll back up.
It was great. It was like, he's like, oh, did he? Like, as he takes a sidestep to the left, you know?
Looks away.
Yeah, so I don't know. That was a great highlight in the book for me this week.
It was a good book. Really good. Yep.
Wonder Woman number 2, which would be the start of one of the stories that's going to be happening in Wonder Woman.
Year one.
Yes. Year one,
mm-hmm.
and then the odd numbered issues will be the other story.
Yes,
I guess. Yeah, yes. That makes sense.
Well, it's like having two series come out that just have the same title and number.
Okay,
that's all. I mean, it's like having two books come out. They're just yeah.
That being said, I really like this, and I like the structure of it as they went through and told. I'm sick of origin stories being retold over and over, but I don't know that I've read all that many of Wonder Woman's, and I did think this one was well done.
Mm-hmm.
Is they sort of cut back and forth between Steve Trevor and Wonder Woman and sort of as they were coming about. I thought the art was really great. A little cheesecakey on Steve Trevor, if I'm going to be honest. Little fucking shorts splashing around in the waves with his male buddies.
They really punch you in the gut with that. They build up Steve's friend and he's just got a baby.
Oh, I knew it was going to happen. I invoked ER rules. He went in there with his happy wife and his baby and I thought, oh, that black guy is fucked.
And he died in the plane crash Spread of Silence.
I saw a black guy who was the best friend of the blonde guy, and come on guys, you're better than this. And I thought that and he's really happy. That guy is gonna die sadly. That's so cliche. Sorry, that's terrible. At the same time, go ahead and say this. Fucking Frank Cho can draw one fucking hell of a Wonder Woman on a cover. That's what I think.
All right, moving on.
I really like Detective Comics number 937 too. It 36. Was one of those when 936, whatever.
937 2?
Point 2.
936
Man and
also.
X-Men.
3. Well, when the Rebirth issue came out, and even I think, was there one between this one and that one? Is this
yes.
the third issue
this
in
is
that?
The third one.
I wasn't sure. And this one had a couple of really good twists that I didn't see coming.
Yeah.
And I liked the Batman is off the table and we're going to watch these guys deal with it.
Yes.
And it's almost, it's really almost the Kate Kane story.
Yeah, Kate Kane's the protagonist of the book. I did like that the best kind of twist is the twist that after you see it, it was so obvious in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So in this one, they've been dealing with this group that with military precision has been attacking the Bat family and they have little bat helmets and they're clearly inspired by Batman and they're, this whole issue, they're wondering how this group came to be, who they were, and you know, Kate Kane's dad is there, and he's colonel or whatever he is, and in the army, and the twist is that he's been training this team, so it's like, oh, right, the army dude who's been here the whole time, he's the guy. I mean, it just was so
and
obvious.
She said, like, they're military, I can tell by the way they move.
Right.
And you're right, it's absolutely obvious. But when that happened, and he's basically trying to get her to join up and get them all. Like, I didn't know how it was going to go.
Right.
I don't know what's going to happen here.
It's also a good group of characters to be in a room together with Tim and Stephanie and their secret romance and Kate Kane and Clayface. I was dubious about Clayface, but he's kind of fun.
Great.
As the Chaos
He's a great
element.
Act. And he has that one, like, good hit. And he's like, what? Good hit's a good hit. What do you want?
And Cassandra Kane.
She had a great moment.
Yeah.
Where she'd, like, taken out a bunch of the guys.
It's a good ensemble. I didn't love the Rebirth issue, but I've liked this more with every issue I've read. So
yeah,
that's a good
sign. That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
Mm-hmm. Good art, too.
Yep.
Well, speaking of good art, The Wicked and the Divine number 21 came out, and Jamie McKelvey continues to wow and amaze. And if you haven't seen the Churches and Haley, what's-her-face from Paramore's video that Jamie did the art for, go watch that because it's really, really good. But I couldn't not mention the fact that now Kieran Gillen joins the quote-unquote got this club.
Oh, no.
Unfortunately, had a panel where after a big fight happened and Dionysus lands and says, at the risk of a jinx, I think we've got this.
Hmm.
There you go.
It is an epidemic.
It's an epidemic. It's at least one book every week. So.
Oh, way more than one.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, and
we're
as far as
an
I can
onslaught.
See, as far as I could see this week, this was the only book I saw with it. And by the way, everyone who's tweeting at us with screenshots or photographs of when it happens, keep it coming. We love it. It's fantastic. Together, we can stop this epidemic, I think.
We should make a commercial.
Yeah.
For just $1 a day.
Yeah, exactly.
We can stop We Got This because we, in fact, got
I got this.
Was Kyle Rayner in it?
No, Kyle Rayner was not in it. Okay. So anyway, but yeah, Wicked and Divine number 21 was great as usual, despite that we got this.
It was a good week. Good solid week of comics.
Yeah. Yeah.
I read most of last week's books and this week's books this week, so it was a lot of comics reading.
And last week, a lot of books.
A lot of books.
I'm still working through last
week. I haven't
even
read them all. I haven't even read the pick of the week yet. Yeah. I got a whole lot going on here.
Yeah.
Let us talk about, in lieu of your emails, which we will come back to next week, Marvel made a big announcement this week with their next Marvel Now reboot after Civil War ends.
As far as I can tell, it's Marvel Shattered Now.
Marvel Now, because the Marvel Now
in Marvel Now is all broken, right?
That was now. This is now.
So there was a lot of leaks and teasing and stuff like that. Then finally, their big catalog came out this week that rolled out everything. And I think it's a 32 new titles. Possibly new ones.
And that's not even all. I mean, they teased a Nova book and a Guardians of the Galaxy. That's 34. They didn't. I mean, I'm sure you're going to get to this. There are basically no X-Men books in these lists, so.
Here's the thing. This is, you know, a lot of people are reacting that way and wondering how I'm reacting and that sort of thing. So we got 32 new titles, which really seem to focus in, if I had to say thematically, focus in on Avengers, Deadpool, and Guardians of the Galaxy, and a little bit of, you know, Doctor Strange, Thor.
Well, it's all Avengers, because Doctor Strange is an Avenger. Isn't Deadpool on, like, an Avenger team?
Yes, he's on Uncanny Avengers, yeah. So it's very Avenger-centric. The returning titles are, you know, the same titles that have been going on, you know, whether it's Silver Surfer or Mighty Thor or Black Widow and Black Panther and all that stuff's still going. Here's the thing about Marvel. They are, if you don't believe this before this, you've got to believe it now. Marvel is in the business of flooding the shelves.
Yes.
They are releasing, according to this list, 64 titles. And that's not to mention the titles that aren't on this list that will keep on going, which is where I think the X-Men fall.
Yeah. Well, they're clearly fucking with everybody by not putting the X-Men on this. I mean,
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I'm not taking this bait. Like, I know, you know, like, and the thing is, like, the thought did cross my mind. The only mention of X-Men in this entire announcement was that there is a miniseries which is finally going to fucking explain what happened between Secret War and the last Marvel Now launch. Mm-hmm. You know, that whole the Inhuman conflict and all stuff like that was a Death of X or whatever they're calling it. You know, and will tell us what finally happened, which they should have done from the get-go, because that didn't drive interest and intrigue. It just drove frustration and annoyance.
Good team on that book, though. Charles Soule, Jeff Lemire, and Aaron Cooter, who we loved on Action Comics. So
yeah, Aaron Cooter's great. Yeah, but
he put a beard on other characters.
He might put a beard on everybody.
He had beards.
Yeah,
yeah.
Put a beard on it.
Nice. Put a beard on
it. If you like it, then you should have put a beard on it.
So I'm not freaking out about the fact. So no, but so for a moment when I read through this, I was like, oh god, X-Men are getting Fantastic Four'd, in that they're eliminating the X-Men titles, but we're seeing, you know, young Cyclops from all new X-Men appearing in Champions. We're seeing Storm appear in Black Panther. You know, like, so they're going out into the Marvel Universe in other books, but there might not be an X-Men book. There may not be an X-Men book. If there isn't, I will be very disappointed. But I also understand that I've had my time. You know, like, and for whatever reason, down here's our time. But that said, I don't imagine that there's never going to be an Uncanny X-Men in some way, shape, or form. You know, and time will tell what happens. Yeah, exactly. The other observation I had from this is that yes, they're announcing a lot of books like Slapstick and Solo and Fool Killer and Prowler and Kingpin and Mosaic and all stuff. The Marvel model now is not meant for long runs.
No, not at all.
I will be very surprised. And I'm ecstatic. You know, Matt Rosenberg, who's a friend of the show, and we enjoyed his work on Four Kids Walking to a Bank, and he did a great job on Kingpin that came out last week. I'm excited to see him get a Kingpin series. I'm excited him also to get Rocket Raccoon, which is great. Those are very different characters. But like a book like, you know, a book like Solo, while I love Jerry Duggan, you know, I don't see that going more than 8 issues, you know?
But that's not supposed to.
Right, exactly.
No, and in fact, aren't they rebooting Captain Marvel? Getting a new number one? Like, it's just, that's the model now.
And so, yeah, so that's the model, is these short runs. I mean, honestly, looking at the returning titles for October, I was shocked to see books like, you know, like Squirrel Girl at number 16 and, you know, and Spider-Woman at number 13. I'm glad to see that, but I know that at some point those will get rebooted to number ones as well, too. But then also, you know, like we've been really enjoying Captain Marvel with Chris Anka on art. And now with this announcement, he's moving over to Star-Lord. So, like, the way Marvel published that we grew up with is gone.
Right.
And this is further cementing the fact that all Marvel's in the business of is getting as many titles on the shelves as often as possible, double shipping and all that sort of stuff.
Which DC's also doing.
Right. Oh, yeah, totally, totally. And
Although
you know,
less titles, I guess, technically.
Yeah.
Like but, Wonder Woman, it's one title instead of two, but it's really two.
Right, but by weekly. Yeah. And I don't know the total count of DC or whatnot. You know, and the thing is that this is the stage that they're in now. You know, like the I'm not panicking. I'm not panicking,
it's
basically.
Very much like let's dig into all of our IP.
Yeah.
And see what sticks, if anything. It's almost
they're taking risks, which I actually do like.
Yes.
I'm proud. I'm happy to see that.
But at what cost?
Jerry Conway.
I mean, like, they're really there's a lot of like well, not my Marvel.
Because yeah,
like, well, they're having their cake and eating it too. So every major Avengers character, founding members, what have you, seem to have two versions. So there's Lady Hulk, Thor, and then the Odin son. And then there's Steve Rogers, Captain America, and there's also Falcon, Captain America. And then there's, they just killed Banner, but there was two Hulks for a while. And yeah. there's Kate Bishop, and there's Clint Barton. And so, and there's Peter Parker, and there's Miles Morales. So it's interesting.
It lacks a certain focus.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing, but my instinct is like, I don't know that you should always have your cake and eat it too. And
yeah. It definitely lacks a cohesion. It lacks a unifying kind of thing, and that's what I love, and that's not the stage that they're in right now.
But also, like, that's not incongruous with our world. Everybody gets to have exactly what they want and their version of it, and it's fine because only a few people need to like it. It doesn't have to be monolithic. There isn't a Johnny Carson anymore, and I get that. My instinct is though that it is less attractive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, I'm an Avengers guy, but basically almost all these books are through the lens of the Avengers because of the films. So,
of course,
I liked having a pocket, you know, an X-Men pocket and an Avengers pocket and a Fantastic Four pocket. Now it's all basically it's all in the Avengers world somehow.
And in human.
And also it's I mean, it's no joke that we see a tease for Guardians of the Galaxy and then the Nova helmet with the Guardians of the Galaxy movie being the big movie next summer.
Right.
You know, like, it's more, this is more, so, like, now I'm like, oh, Nova's going to be in the next movie.
Richard Rider.
Hopefully, knock on wood.
Pride of Queens.
Pride of Long Island.
Oh, even
not
worse.
Even Queens.
Even worse.
Like, straight up, like Hempstead, I think.
The Pride of...
Comac. All you locals, there's a Hempstead reference. Did you know that Hempstead and Oyster Bay were originally in Queens, and then when the unifying plan of 1898 brought Queens into New York City, they said, we're not going to be in Queens anymore.
Oh, I thought it just drifted.
No. Anyway.
Black Hawk was from Queens.
Yes.
Yes,
he was.
But they're exactly the same character.
Yes.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, they are.
Listen, this could all be, everything could be forgiven simply because on the preview for Cage, which is by Jindy Tarkovsky, the tagline is, Christmas comes early.
Nice.
Good tagline.
He's wearing his classic... you know, chain belt tiara outfit. So
yep. I think Sweet I saw Christmas. That like that project has been in development forever and
yes,
ever and ever.
It's an old
I
don't know. I feel more and more disconnected from the Marvel universe.
I think part of that might be what I think I'm feeling is that,
to Iron Man, to Hawkeye, to Thor.
You get settled in and you're like, all right, I'm starting to find my way. And like, anyway, all this is gone. And now I have to start over.
Yeah.
And I can totally see how that leads to more book sales. But it is tiring.
Yep. Like, it doesn't lead to reader satisfaction, I don't think.
It doesn't lead to me like finding a book that I love and sticking with it. It leads to me finding a couple of books out of a whole lot of books that I like some. And you have to keep it's like you keep moving to a new town and having to make new friends.
Yeah.
And it's exhausting.
What do you guys
that's
think
all the comics have been.
About Jessica Jones by Brian Michael Bendis and Michael Gatiss?
I'm honestly shocked that it took them this long to do it.
I'm so in that sense, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Now they're going to do it. I lean towards you probably shouldn't go home again. It works sometimes.
Yeah.
But with Bendis, I don't feel like he's had a great track record with that.
Yeah.
I'm going to read
it. And that's I'm going to read it too. But Josh, yeah, that's an absolutely fair statement.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how they handle it. That Alias book, which we all loved, it's one of our favorite series, was very sort of in its own Marvel bubble.
Yep.
Eventually spread to the rest of, you know, her relationship with Cage, you know, became a thing in Avengers. And
even so, though, if you read that now, if you went back and read it, it would still be like, it doesn't feel like Marvel. Like, they brought her into it and everything, but it even when he switched to doing the Pulse with that same character, mm-hmm. it wasn't the same. Once, you know, Bagley was drawing and she was running around with everybody else in the same world.
It's never been the same since Alias. It really has. Even with her in Avengers with Luke and all that sort of stuff, it's never been the same.
You know what? I'll put it this way. Like, basically, the one who shows up now in books, that Jessica Jones, like, it doesn't feel like the same character.
Yeah, right. Agreed. Here's another question for you. What's the over-under on Great Lakes Avengers and how long that lasts?
I don't know anymore. I can't even... There are books coming out now I never would have thought made it past 6 issues, but there they are.
And I'll be honest that I rolled my eyes hard at Occupy Avengers. What, like four years later, 3 years later, how many years later from Occupy Wall Street? And then Connor, actually, we talked about this off air. The Mark Waid, Barry Kitson Avengers point issues, like, I'm all over that like glue. Like, yes. that the retro Avengers story with Barry Kitson on art. Come on, done.
Well, that was the team behind one of our all-time favorite books, Justice League Year One.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Or JLA Year One.
It'll be interesting. I mean, you know, I think a lot of it is this represents, I think, Marvel trying to get in front of some of the media stuff in terms of the TV and the movies, the publishing trying to get their kind of say in it. And we'll see what sticks. But it's definitely, I mean, I feel like we've been saying this with every one of these Marvel Now ones, is that the world is changing. And this one made me think that even more, like, that is just completely a different ballgame now.
It is interesting. So, for years and years and years, we said, that, you know, comics will never change. They haven't. They wouldn't have.
They've changed a lot.
They finally did.
Yeah.
When Paul Levitz retired, that DC finally started changing. And then when the movies happened and Disney's acquisition of Marvel finally did change. It just took a while, but finally did.
Yeah, I think it's been like in the last 5 years, that's when the change happened. And it's been crazy. And I don't know if we're in better shape or not, but it is what it is. Yeah.
I don't know. That's a really good point. Like, I can't tell. I see stories that say comics are selling more and others that they're not. And
I don't
get the sense of people falling in love with runs on a book the same way they used to.
Nope.
And when they do, we know that it's finite vision with Tom King, you know, like this is going to be good for a little while. And then he's moved on to his other thing. And so there's not like, you don't get to settle into that pocket.
But that's, you know, okay, for Vision, because I wouldn't want that for years and years and years.
I know that. But, like, there are no long-running books at this point. I mean, I guess that Snyder's Batman run is probably one of the exceptions.
You mean by a team?
Yeah, where you just like, know you're going to be there for a bit. With Marvel, I just figure I've got 12 months with anything, mm-hmm. and that's going to be it. DC will hang in a little longer.
The thing is, though, for U.S. Avengers number one, we've got Red Hulk with aviators and a sweet trucker mustache.
Yeah.
So, not everything is going to be bad.
That sounds like Thunderbolt Ross.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he's not just a Thunderbolt Ross mustache. It's the one that goes down the mouth.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. It's Thunderbolt Ross plus.
Yeah. 211.
I was going to say, it's nearly Panaga-sized.
Yeah.
The Earl.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the thing is, within this, there will be interesting things to read, but I don't have that feeling about Marvel that I did anymore.
Yeah,
I will say, there's a lot of great artists in there.
Yeah. A lot of great writers, a lot of great artists. Yeah, some exceptions, but yeah.
Look, I mean, that Occupy Avengers book. Say, you know, you might not like that title because it feels, but it's like on Follow though. Like, boy, that's a stupid, you know.
Yeah, maybe.
But
yeah.
But David Walker and Gabriel Walta.
Yeah.
And I'll read it. Yeah. I'm going to read
Mike
all of these.
Mike Del Mundo on an Avengers book. That guy's so good.
Ooh, Connor, are we going to ratings these?
Ratings.
Howell Foreman?
Ratings?
Ratings, maybe.
Ratings?
Oh, yeah. I was excited for Ultimates too with Travel Foreman. I was like, ooh, yeah, I like that.
I mean, there's Dalibor. Yeah. Dalibor again.
And that's always Marvel's winning factors. They have the top talent.
Tell you though, DC is this rebirth art talent pool way more interesting than whatever the previous one was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was going to say New 52, but I get was that the last one? Yeah.
Are we ready for two Doctor Strange books?
Nope. But there's a movie, so we'll have two for a while.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. We'll see. Are we ready? Are we ready for 19 Deadpool books?
Yes, clearly.
I mean, that's what I think is fast. That's what I think is fascinating about this, and this is why I don't believe the X-Men are going anywhere. Is that the only benefit Marvel has made from the Deadpool movie success is selling Deadpool comics, and what are they doing? Making more of them,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, like, clearly, the whole brouhaha between Marvel and Fox over the ownership of the X-Men characters or not, whatever. Like, if it's gonna make Marvel money, they will do it. You know, and if X-Men Apocalypse was an enormous hit, I bet you we would see tons of X-Men books. But right now, Deadpool's more exciting than X-Men, and so we're seeing more Deadpool books. And Rob Liefeld laughs all the way to the bank.
He seems cheery in general.
He's great. I love Rob.
I mean, he's gonna be pretty. Even if the movie tanked, he'd spin it.
Yeah, totally. Anyway, so that all is coming later this year, and you know I'll read as much of it as possible, and maybe we'll rate it. And we'll see, but interesting
stuff.
It's a lot of books. I wouldn't say we rate all the returning titles, but maybe the new titles. But I don't know. We'll see.
Maybe.
Ratings.
I'm just happy to see Richard Rider coming back. Hopefully.
Maybe.
Rating.
All right. Cool.
Maybe. All right. So that's it for this week. Let's talk about some quick things coming up. So next week is Comic-Con, or this week is Comic-Con. I will be there, but we're not doing anything event-wise or shooting video. None of that stuff's happening. So, but if you see me, feel free to say hi. Unless it's early in the morning, I look hungover. Don't.
That's redundant.
But you'll be reporting live from Comic-Con on the podcast.
I'll be reporting live from Comic-Con on the podcast. I'll be there. So if you see me, say hello. I will be at the Darwin Cook Memorial Tribute Panel. Not on it, but I will be at it, watching it. It's Saturday night. Cool. So if you are there, that's where I'll definitely be. And there's going to be, at the show, they're going to be premiering Batman the Killing Joke, which is the next DC Universe animated original film. And shortly thereafter, probably the week after, we will do a podcast on it. So look forward to that.
Awesome. Also coming out next week is Star Trek Beyond, right? It's next week, right?
Yes, next.
Yeah.
That premiere is also happening at Comic-Con, and it's coming out for everybody that Friday.
Yes, and we will be discussing it. I don't know when, but we will.
I don't know when either. Some things have happened that I haven't discussed with you yet that are going to put a monkey wrench into the plans, but we'll figure it out.
We will figure it out.
It may not come out until the week, the following week. Not the following weekend, but like maybe Wednesday after the movie comes out.
Yeah. We'll figure it out. Don't worry. It'll be fine. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited.
Get with it, guys.
I love Star Trek. So.
It's a lot happening right now.
It's a lot. It's a very busy month.
That's what we're saying.
Well, we're done with Goodfellas Minute, so there's nothing else coming. You know what? People who do daily podcasts are assholes. Because it is very difficult to keep up with a daily podcast. But the good news is that after that daily podcast is done, you can go ahead and enjoy it at your own leisure, such as Goodfellas Minute, which you can find at goodfellasminute.com, which was our daily podcast, bunch of assholes, that we did. Talking about the movie Goodfellas, 1 minute at a time, one show for every minute of the movie.
Oof.
It was a thing that happened.
And it was glorious.
It was good. It was really, really fun. Those are great shows, and you should listen to it. You should watch Goodfellas if you've never watched it, and then go listen to it. If you like this show, you'll definitely like that, too.
Yep. And if you like things in general, just go to ifanboy.com, because there are a lot of people there who like things. You can go to the post of the show and comment on it if you already have an account. I'm working on fixing new accounts. I'm working on it. It'll get there.
I picture you covered in like grease and soot.
Oh, you have no idea.
Like wrenches.
You thought your iPad was bad. Ooh, yeah. You should see that server room. I saw an 8-inch disc. I don't know how that works in the server.
Zip drive.
There's a zip drive. There's some sort of the mainframe. I gotta go all the way to the other end of the building, prime the switch, and then turn it on. And then get back and not get eaten by the dinosaurs. It's a pain in the ass.
It's like Clark Griswold turning on the Christmas lights.
Yeah. But anyway, so go to ifanboy.com. You can comment on the shows and all that fun stuff. And get all the you can download the other podcasts, movie podcasts and things like that we talked about this summer. It's a lot of fun. Follow us on social media so you don't miss a podcast when it comes out. You can go to facebook.com/ifanboy or follow us on Twitter at iFanboy. And you can follow us individually. You can follow Connor at CS Kilpatrick, Josh at J.A. Flanagan, and I am at RonXO.
And leave us a review on iTunes if you like the show. It's how we help spread the word, so people find podcasts. So if you have a second, just leave us a review. You can just also just give us a star rating. That's fine, too.
Yeah, ratings.
Everyone loves ratings, right? So give us ratings. A rating.
And, take a thing that's complex, break it down to five numbers.
Right. Rating.
No nuance, just ratings.
None of that.
We are all ratings. That's it for this week's show. Thanks for listening. I'm Connor.
I'm Ron.
Hi, we're all ratings.
Ratings. Every one of us. It is so hot.
See you next
week. Oh, God.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.